Welcome, everyone, to Real Kipper and Bourne. I am Justin Bourne, and I'm joined today by Sam McKee. Samuel?
Good afternoon, Justin. How are you today, buddy?
I'm doing well. Good to have you aboard this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne. We'll be brought to you by Bet365. And for those of you out there, we're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and Sportsnet 360 in Sportsnet Plus.
Sportsnet.
You know where to find us. And when Sam's here, text us at 590-590, because Sam and I like to engage those texts. Not that Kip doesn't.
It's funny. You know, if you don't know where to find us by June 20th and you're still watching us,
that's a waste of an intro, really.
You're not coming in here being like, wonder what this show is about on June 20th.
So. Kipper and Bourne, you say. Where could this be found? Well, welcome aboard. You know, when McKee is here, we're freed up to talk about random things. Like, what do you think of the Ducks' new jerseys?
I think they look like the CU Hunt from Shoresy. I don't know if you've watched Shoresy or not, but there's an American team that's like a hunting-themed shirt, and they looked exactly like that. You want to hear about something very random if we're doing free random takes?
Yeah, it was right off the top, randomness.
Because, I mean, it's an off day in the Stanley Cup final. We got a couple minutes here before we get to boots. I play in a softball league, Swansea Softball. Mm-hmm. Shout out. Wonderful league. Umpired for the first time last night.
You did?
I did,
I
bet
you loved it.
I umped the second game. I played in the first game, got lit up. It didn't help the ERA. I was 12-1. I think we lost 12-7 or so. Yeah. But I umped the second game, and your assessment is correct. I loved it.
You ate it right up. I know
I
you
loved
would.
It. And just, you know, here's the thing. Now I'm like, you know, Angel Hand is not that bad.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's really hard.
So I got the Ann who runs the league. She's like, Sam, you want the clicker? So I got the clicker with the balls and strikes and the outs and the innings so I could like keep track of everything, call them balls and strikes.
What's your, just a single?
Ball outside.
That's all I
had an absolute blast. Apparently rave reviews. Everybody came up to me and said I did a good job. I volunteered to do it anytime for the rest of the season. So now
volunteered.
Now I am one of the umps. I'm part of the umpire union. So stop hating on my boy Angel. Forced retirement. Not his fault.
What an awful start to the show. It is another Stanley Cup final off day. As you mentioned, tomorrow night, things will kick back up again. I've got an article today on pressure. The shifting pressure and how yesterday we listened to Maurice say, I don't know if the pressure's really on us so much. And I was kind of kicking it around. And, you know, this is kind of the first time that Edmonton now has been the team that people say should win. Minus 20 favorites, which you covered yesterday. And one thing we've seen with the Toronto Maple Leafs covering them for years is that when the pressure is high, it's not like anyone chokes or trips on their skate laces or anything like that. It's just they're quiet.
Yeah.
We don't see those moments of greatness, and McDavid has been great, 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 great for two straight games, and I'm wondering if you're going to continue to get this greatness from the top end of the Oilers.
I do think there reaches a certain point of how good you are where pressure and outside noise and all of this stuff just stops mattering when you're that dynamic, when you're that good, when you're rising above it all, when you're in the only other people who have as many points as you are Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Like, I truly do believe he's kind of levitating above any pressure at this point.
Yeah.
And I do think at this point now...
Jesus.
I was like, where was Kipper coming from? But no, at this point now, I, you know, clearly I've been taking a beating because I've been picking against the Oilers. Yeah. I've always said that the only way I want the Cup to come back to Canada is down Yonge Street. Like, I've said this millions of times. But, you know, there's certain things that happen in your life as a sports fan. Mm-hmm. Where you get to appreciate wonderful moments. You think of Tom Brady, who had the 28-3 comeback in the Super Bowl. You think of LeBron James down 3-1 against the Warriors, and they come back and win. This is like something that you can talk about with your friends, with your kids, with whoever, for the rest of your life.
I'm with you on this.
If you can witness,
I'm here for greatness.
If you can witness potentially the greatest player in the history of the game, the best player I've ever seen in my life, hands down, best hockey player I've ever seen. If you can witness him orchestrate the first 3-0 comeback in the Stanley Cup final against a really good team, was it the 42 Leafs that did it?
Yeah.
I just have to put aside my biases and just root for it.
Yeah.
At this point, when I said Panthers in five games, I was like, they're going to win in five games. I still picked them in game five going into game five. But now that they got over that massive hump, no one even gets past game six.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no one gets it back there. That never happens. It happened in 2012, the first time, and since it was 1945.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're here, and I really want to see it. And I think there is a lot of pressure on both teams. It's game six of the Stanley Cup final, but Kip said it best yesterday that, you know, everybody else is getting slower. and McDavid is just getting faster.
Yeah.
And I really do feel like we're about to witness something all time.
He dropped a great quote today, too, about no team is as ready for this as we are. Kind of reminds me of like when you get great, you're Muhammad Ali, and you can just say, I'm the greatest. Yeah. Come and do something about it.
He just doesn't
Speaking
care.
Speaking of the greatest, we have the greatest analyst, former NHL head scout, right at sportsnet.ca with us now, Books. Jason Bukala, how are you, pal?
Oh my
God. You're the Muhammad
you guys
Ali.
Are struggling for cut. I was just, I just came into a sentence following the great Muhammad Ali. Like, who would have ever thought that would happen in my career?
Yeah, you guys have tons in common. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, lots. Yeah.
How's things, Books? How are you enjoying the Stanley Cup final? Obviously, you're at the Florida Panthers for a lot of years. Your fingerprints certainly on the team that's, you know, very near success. What are your thoughts on how the Cup final's gone so far?
Well, you know, I felt a lot better for their squad a couple of days ago. I was talking to Brian McCabe, Caber, as you guys all know, the former Toronto Maple Leaf. He's their director of player development. And, you know, everybody's excited around there. The town's Florida's a finicky market. Like, they're not like Toronto where they're going to fill the building all the time. All of Florida sports, whether it be the Dolphins, the Marlins, who kind of win once in a while, if you're not winning, they don't fill buildings and they don't get excited. It's just too much of a transient type of personality there. Everybody's behind this. So the pressure's growing. You know, they're a little tighter on that plane going all the way back to Edmonton. I don't know if they're all chucking water bottles at each other and screaming. Who knows, right? Who knows? But definitely feel a little bit – I don't feel as good about it today as I did the other day, but that's just natural.
So what do you think, outside of McDavid, what's the biggest thing that's spun here? Is it just McDavid? Like, is there one other thing that you can point to? Is it the goaltending? Is it the special teams? What is it for you, Boots?
Well, I think Bobrovsky can be better, to be honest with you. I think that he's getting to be a little bit acrobatic, Bob, and that's never a good thing. Like, when his crease composure starts to kind of wane a little bit, that's a problem, guys. Like, when you start making – or you start seeing him make saves that are really unorthodox, he's capable of that. So I don't want to mislead anybody here. Like, that's his style, right? He's a butterfly athletic. Mm-hmm. But there's a fine line between being butterfly athletic and not feeling it. And when you don't feel it 100%, you can certainly be exposed. So they need a couple more stops, I would say. But I got to give credit to Edmonton on their side. I find like their secondary pushback, their bump, like they're receiving more bump and pushing back a little bit more now, guys, in my opinion. I don't know how you guys feel, but even McDavid, I mean, McDavid's doing all world things offensively, as we know, but you know, even him, he's taking more, he's absorbing more contact and kind of spraying off of it to create plays. So, you know, Bouchard was probably the best version of himself the other night. And that's always a kind of unpredictable in my mind, to be honest with you. But, you know, on the Florida side, the one thing that I'm mostly concerned about is just composure. Like, this is a team that is built to be relentless in the trenches, wear you down mentally, never give an inch type thing. And I'm starting to see cracks in the armor. And that's never a good thing. Never show your cards, right? Yeah. Never show your cards when you're under duress.
Is the Bobrovsky thing, we kind of talked about it yesterday, but I mean, this guy's been playing hockey since October. It's now June 20th. As you know, the Stanley Cup final is going to run into the draft here. They're going to, like you said, they're going to do the draft in the third period of game seven. Yeah. But is it just fatigue? Like, is fatigue setting in here? It's a lot of hockey. Feels like McDavid's the only one that's not getting tired.
It better not be. I mean, I guess for the scale, I don't buy that an ounce. I mean, we build hockey teams to be competitive at the hardest time of the year and take pride and find that extra 10 or 15%. I've said it before on the show here. Like, you know, I'm looking around the room and, you know, at the hardest time of year, I'm looking for my teammates to find something extra. So I don't buy that. I think that's a weak way of looking at it, that the Stanley Cup final. That's not no offense to you, Sammy, for asking the question.
Of course
not. But, you know, I'm saying that, to me, that's a sign of weakness. And, you know, championship teams aren't built on the back of weakness. So, and then with the goaltending, Bobrovsky, this isn't the Grant Fear era where Grant Fear would play 76 games for Mike Keenan for the St. Louis Blues, you know, and you could say fatigue would factor in playoffs there either. So, no, absolutely not. And we're down to the last couple of games here. So, I know the travel's been brutal, but at the same token, there's been time to adjust to the clock, if you will. And I think there should be lots left in the tank.
Books, is it a challenge for Florida to, like, go out and win, like, go take a game because they don't have these, like, elite top-end guys? I know Tkachuk has had seasons like that. Barkov is a 200-foot guy, not necessarily a McDavid type. You know, it's almost like they have played such consistent, steady hockey. They just wear you down, and they wear you through to a close victory at the end. When they get down a couple goals and start chasing, it puts them in a real tough spot, and it feels like that's what's happened the last couple games for them.
I totally agree with that, Borny. I mean, so the Edmonton Oilers, they're a creature of habit. So when they start feeling it offensively, they're like a train running downhill in the Rockies. You know what I mean? Like, they're going, and now you're really chasing it. So you got two things that are factors there, the way you describe it. A, we're losing control of the structure that we like to play in. We don't want to really chase the game. We want to be able to, like, the Florida Panthers would be very comfortable to grind out a 2-1 win and nothing pretty about it necessarily, but, you know, like, really work you on the wall and, you know, take away the middle of the ice and all those types of things, and they win playoff games that way. You know, a lot of championship teams have. But as soon as you let the Edmonton Oilers start being the best version of themselves, which is, you know, running around playing you know, the version of hockey they're playing right now, and you're chasing it, whoa, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that sticks out to me too with the Oilers, you talk about how incredible their power play is, but the thing that Jason Gregor brought up yesterday about their penalty kill, with that the penalty kills outscored their opponent's power play 3-1 in the last 15 games, 43 or 44 times shorthanded, they killed it off, 97.7% and 3 shorthanded goals.
A net PK percentage of plus 107
that's
or something.
Unbelievable. Like, that's how you win a championship right there. It's unbelievable.
No, you know, Sammy, you're onto something there. That is exactly it. So that's grunt work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, penalty killing is hard, especially in playoffs, and you're going up against your opponent's top players. And the buy-in to accomplish, whether you get a big save or whether you get an extra shot block, or I don't care what it is. Like, Connor Brown, like, honestly, would the three of us have been sitting here in January and saying Connor Brown's going to score a big shorty in the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Edmonton Oilers? Probably
not.
We didn't
think he was going to score one.
We didn't
think he was going to score one, period,
yeah,
for half
right.
the season.
Yeah, yeah, and I had him on the wire to open up cap space, full transparency.
Yeah.
So, you know, clearly the buy-in on the fringes there is, that's, we all hear about the juicy things, like, you know, the Conn Smythe and McDavid's gonna, you know, potentially, you know, this has been an all-world performance. I get it. But those little things that you point out like that, Sammy, that grunt work on the penalty kill, that's exactly what wins championships. Cause if you give up an extra, in those situations, that's where you're going to be chasing the game.
Yeah. It's, you know, really unfolding in a way that makes you think that Edmonton, you know, they're supposed to win tonight. They're minus 120 favorites, and that pressure feels like it has shifted a little bit. So, Books, behind the scenes now, they're working on a draft. Like, there are people there who are trying to keep an eye on this and keep eyes towards what's happening in a week. Can you imagine being in those shoes? All your work goes into these players, but you're still working for something that's happening next week.
Yeah, I can imagine it. I'd love to be in that
situation. Yeah, good point. Wait, that's actually a dream scenario
for me. Look, so what you're saying is, opposed to being a non-playoff team and having all that runway,
right,
what would you rather have?
Yeah, you make a good point.
Yeah, no. All joking aside, you know, the pro side of the equation, Bill Zito and his pro side there, they're more prepared right now. Like, they're going to be taking these, I believe they're all traveling. They all came to Florida the other day to be part of it. So I would imagine they traveled on the charter. And if they did, they're going to take advantage of this downtime to kind of have some meetings and, you know, some of the things that they might otherwise run out of time to do in Vegas next week or in the build up to free agency. They're going to take advantage of every minute they have right here. But, you know, it's just that it's part of the game. It's part of the gig. And I'm sure that it's wearing them out, because here's the thing. The mood won't be good. Here's the worst part about meetings. I have to be honest. Like, when you go to a playoff game for your team, and if you get knocked out of playoffs or if you lose a playoff game, what a horrible meeting it is the next morning. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, you think that, you know, people's dogs got run over by cars. It's awful. And you gotta really build the group up, right? So, yeah, it's not ideal to be distracted.
You good in the final?
Good.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about the Markstrom trade from Calgary to New Jersey. And it's been 15 minutes here now since I've made it about the Leafs, so trying to make it about the Leafs. The first side of it is Sheldon Keefe gets fired in Toronto. And, you know, I kind of joked about it before this trade was made that he's walking into one of the better situations in the league. They dealt with a ton of injuries, but they were, what were they, 110-point team before the year before?
81 last year.
But, so they had a down year, but they're kind of, with some goaltending, would have been a much better team this. Them getting Markstrom and him walking in there, like, this has a chance to go really bad and really sour for the perception here in Toronto because of how classy the exit was and the way that he treated everybody on the way out. And him going there and them probably being pretty good with Markstrom, I'm concerned about next season for the perception of Keefe and how it's going to go.
Suddenly
here.
The devil, he looks like Scotty Bowman.
Honestly.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, that New Jersey team is a very good team. They suffered through some injuries last year, and obviously the goaltending is what it is. Fellas, Jake Allen and Jacob Markstrom now between the pipes next year. Pretty good, right? Like, Marky doesn't have to... He doesn't have to run out there and play 60 games. Like, Allen should be able to play 30 games, I would say to you. And you know, a veteran guy that's capable. And he had some good moments down the stretch for Jersey at the end of the year, too, Jake did. This team is going to be a problem for a lot of people in the Eastern Conference next year. I believe that. You know, Dougie Hamilton should come back healthy. You know, some guys in the back end have been evolving. Up front, they got some players that are quick strike, like Hughes. Even the year that Hughes on the back end got last year, you know, like, what an experience, right? A lot of ups and downs, but he'll be better for the experience. But up front, Hughes, Heeshire, you know, you start going through it. This is going to be a good team, and I think they'll play with some structure. But it's funny, you know, because I am interested to see how they approach the game, how Sheldon wants them to approach the game. Because if we look at playoffs in Toronto, for example, it was almost the tale of two different types of systems, wasn't it, in playoffs? Mm-hmm. You know, like at the beginning, we're going to play it our way, but at the end, this is the way we have to play to win the playoffs, for example. So I'm curious to see which one he implements in New Jersey. But can I be off about the trade, though, for a second?
Well, yeah, let her rip. Let her rip.
I personally, I'm not Frege or anything like that, so I don't have any intel behind the scenes. But if somebody would have came to me and asked me the question, my strategy would have been wait to Vegas. And the reason is because I know that the goaltender has a full no move clause, but Vegas is like a convention, and you know, we all get together, and you might have found something on the floor that would have got you a first round pick this year in this draft cycle, for example. I'm not saying it's the best draft, but I am saying there is good value in the top 20. So I'm sure that Connie did that, but of course, Jacob has full control where he goes. So if I accept that on balance, I'm hearing some things about Kevin Ball. I've scouted Kevin Ball for 7 years now. I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of the player. I like the player. He's a big, rangy guy, 24 years old. He's a giant, you know, average plus boots, small area. You know, like if a guy gets inside of him when you're that big, you know, like those quick turns and things like that, that can be a little bit problematic. Or if he has to move east-west on his blue line to gap up, he's going to have to use his reach. But he's not a killer physically. He's a big boy. Like, he's a big body, but he's not overly punishing that way. And he had like 103 blocks. So it's more like I just get in the way. Kevin Ball's a good player, but he's a third pairing D on a good team. That's how I'm looking at that. Okay. He might play in the top four in the first year in Calgary, maybe. But when you're good, he's a bottom pairing D. So that brings me to the last part of it. If I'm retaining 31% of anybody's salary, I'm getting a mid-round pick in return. Where has that gone? Like, you know, every time we talk to the trade deadline, the three of us could have a conversation, and salaries retained at the trade deadline, historically, when has there ever been salary retention where you don't get a secondary pick in return? Yeah. That one threw me for a little bit of a loop as well. So, I don't know. I just...
That's a good point, actually. And you wonder, like, if this was ended up being the price, why didn't it just get done in March?
Yeah. Like, I do feel like Calgary regrets out went in March.
Maybe there's a little bit of a get-right thing here where they're like, they upped it too much in March and they try to make nice, but that's, you don't do that in a competitive league. It's just very weird. It's a good point on the retention. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah,
31.2. I don't know what the number is, but it's in the millions. It's like 2.75 or something, Sammy. So the cost of doing I got to go to my owner and say, hey, I'm going to eat 2.75. Well, I would assume that Murray Edwards is going to look at me and go, well, what am I getting back in return for that? Mm-hmm. You know, and I would have asked for a minimum fourth round pick in next year's draft.
It does feel like they're then not trying to be competitive anytime soon, kind of changing how they're going about their plan. What did you think of when we're talking about retention? No retention on PLD going to Washington.
most massive buyer beware transaction. Like it's, I'm not loving it. I'm not comfortable. So I understand he's 25, turning 26. I understand he's a big body in the middle of the ice. I also understand that his best shift looks like he can be that power scorer. And, you know, that guy that can play in your top three, top six for sure. Everybody covets those players when he's playing his best. The problem is, guys, you know it. I know it. He's only 50% of himself. You know, he only presents 50% of the best version of himself to the team over the course of 82 games, never mind playoffs, you know, recently. How do you, like, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, and no disrespect to some of the colder climates, but we're talking L.A., and what a place to play. And you couldn't get it right and play a certain way for the L.A. Kings, and they had some good leadership in that room. Kopitar, you know, Doughty, for example. So now I'm hearing that it's going to change in Washington. He's going to go there, and he's going to be hopefully the best version of himself there, and the leadership group will insulate him, the Carlsons, the Oshies, you know, the obviously Ovi. You know, we're going to insulate him. We're going to drag him along, and he's going to be the best version. I'm buyer beware on it. The number isn't atrocious at all if he's better, but I don't love it.
There's a couple things with this that, you know, maybe a third trade in how many years or a fourth, like at some point there's got to be maybe a wake up call after a team just traded for you. They gave you all that money. They thought you were great. They saw 1 year of you and they're like, we're going to just get off this right away before your no move kicks in. Yeah. Like maybe that's a wake up call. Maybe that's something that Washington bets on. But, you know, we talked about it a little bit before the show. It was clearly not a great trade by Rob Blake, and the asset management, when you lay it all out, doesn't look good. But admitting defeat on something and getting off of that contract, you have to give him credit for that side of it. But the asset management on the other side is not great. Like it's a real give and take when you're now analyzing this from Rob Blake's perspective.
It's horrible. Let's be honest. Like at the end of the day, you're losing the picks and Velarde.
I have it here. It's Gabe Velarde, Iafallo, Rasmus Kumpari, a 2024 second round pick, and Pierre-Luc Dubois for Darcy Kemper. Not great.
That's like, wow. So if they don't make playoffs next year and go on a better run, you know, I think you can read the tea leaves.
Absolutely. So
it sounds like there is teams willing to make moves at the deadline, Columbus potentially being one of them, Sammy?
At the draft?
At the draft.
Yeah. Waddell said today that there's teams around us talking about trying to move up a little bit. If you're going to get a nice asset with it, we're open to moving the pick, blah, 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 similar stuff.
What are those conversations like on draft day? How often do high picks come up in conversation?
A lot of those conversations, Borny, are starting to take place already right now. And when I hit the ground in Vegas as a staff, by call it Wednesday, our general manager would have presented to us three or four of the options that we have at our disposal. And, you know, whether there's an NHL roster player in there, you know, for the cap fit, for example, or just the straight up draft capital, moving it around, shuffling the deck. So in this draft specifically, like for me personally, I have obviously Celebrini, but then I have Demidov, Levshinov, and then we get into the, you know, the Siliev, Tijigin. I have at five. A lot of people have him after that, but after what I've seen and met with him and everything, I'm on the Tij train.
Wow.
So, you know, that one there's going to be interesting. So what it tells me is that Don Waddell, for example, you know, Sammy, they're playing games in the media.
Like
they're saying, you know, like they're trying to ramp things up, but he realistically will have three or four players, I believe, in that range that he probably values pretty close to the same. So it absolutely makes sense. Now, here's my one caveat. I would say that if I'm getting capital in return, I'm punting it to next year. My depth next year is far greater from, like, right now there's a line in the sand, I would call it at 16 or 17 at this draft, and there's going to be a lot of the same at 19 to 45. So I don't want to get 36 back this year, if you get my drift. I'd rather take a run at 32 next year, and I think it's going to be a better player.
I did want to ask you about Tej again, love, because it's a fascinating one to me. I was reading your where you're ranking. So you have him ahead of the Flames at 9, right? But, you know, you have him maybe a little higher than some other people. There's a potential he's sitting there at 9. I can't imagine the dynamics in that room, right? Because it's like you got Conroy, who's played with his dad. Isn't his dad involved with the Flames now? He's sitting there. You can't you can't pass on it from a perception, your ownership, all this stuff. Like, I can't imagine the weird pressures if he's sitting there at nine for the Flames. They just got to take him, right?
Well, I'd actually counter that. There is no pressure.
Okay.
Yeah, none. No, like, if he's sitting there, they're just taking him. 100% they're taking him. I would, I'd take both you guys out for a Wagyu if he falls to nine. I'll put it to you that way. Like, okay. I don't think it's happening. I think he's just too good. The fly in the ointment's going to be a couple of those guys in that range. Zane Parekh, who's like an offenseman. He's like a rover in anybody who plays, beer league softball. You know, you got that guy in center field who's just kind of all over the place. Yeah. Zane Parekh does that on a hockey ice sheet. Like, he's all over the place. It's fun to watch, and he's a great kid. But Caden Lindstrom is going to be the guy that's could be the disturber there, because he's a huge body, 6'3", 200 and whatever, great athlete. He plays the middle, though, guys. And my issue there is that I have him later. I have him at ninth on my list, ninth or tenth. When I'm drafting centermen, I need them to have the vision to share the puck in transition, like use people on the flanks and then go to open space. He's a shooter off the rush, so he wants it on his stick more than using people around him. That doesn't mean he's not a hell of a player. He is. But people in the middle of the ice, they have to be able to share the puck a little bit more. And he had like 27 and 19 or something like that. And you don't want to run just shotgun with a guy like that. You know, like Matthews, I know he's an elite goal scorer, but he does share it too. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. he's it's not his elite element, but he does share it. So that's why I got Lindstrom a little bit later.
So just one more on Teej. Like, the way you're talking about him, I'm looking at the Cap Friendly page, which, you know, it's a tough one to talk about now, but they got a lot of picks. Yeah. So are they, like, they got a lot of picks here. Would there be any way where they move up to get Teej? Like, is that something that you think that they would be looking into, or is that too brazen with the connections?
So I'm glad you brought it up, because that's where I would have gone with the Markstrom strategy. To be perfectly clear, imagine you pick up something in the teens, let's just say, or early 20s. Now you package nine and call it 22 or 23. You move up to five. I'm just using five as an example. Yeah. Okay. But you give yourself an option. You make the call at the very least. You move up to five. You still got Vancouver's pick at 28.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, like, if I go by my draft list, which is like best player from top to bottom, now all of a sudden I've got a Ginla, who's goal scorer, uber competitive, got the bloodlines, yada, yada. And then I draft like this Teddy Stiga guy out of the U.S. national team program, who's like Brendan Gallagher-like a little bit. Like, and now I'm starting to build a culture. You understand?
Yeah.
So I wish they would have got something else in that marquee deal for that reason as well.
It's funny. I'm watching these Teej highlights. First of all, feel old. Like, I'm like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. You're watching generations come through now.
He really does. It's a little uncanny. A lot of the movement's very similar to his dad. Like, I know it's
his
son, so
it makes
sense. Yeah. I don't think he's as much as that element, but he does have the father-like movements.
Oh, the game's changed. He skates better than his dad.
For sure.
His spatial, so his dad would grind out a little bit more along the wall. Teej has got that in him. Don't misunderstand, but Teej has got more dart and dash, and his catch and release, fellas, like between the hash, well, actually between the dots in the offensive zone. I mean, he's almost impossible to defend, because if he gets it, he zips it, and he's already moving to get it back if it's a rebound, or you know what I mean? His read and react. So really hard to defend. This kid, like, if his last name was McKee, I would still be glowing the exact same way as I am right now.
I love it.
Even with those flawed genetics.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm kidding, Andy.
I'll send you some live barn highlights. You wouldn't be saying that.
The McKee family from Owen Sound.
Oh, yeah. All right, Books.
Well,
we kept you long enough.
Yeah, appreciate your time. I'm hoping we can get you back on before or during the draft, something like that, if that works for you.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me a shout. Just don't make it 7 o'clock in the morning, because that might not happen.
No worries.
Vegas.
Yeah.
It's in Vegas. Because you'll still be at the blackjack table. That's
right. Yeah, you'll still be playing.
No. I'm not into that. I people watch, though. It's fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
That's fun.
To say the least. All right. Thanks so much. That's Jason Bukala, former head scout, writer at Sportsnet.ca, and founder, king, CEO of the Pro Hockey Group.
Awesome.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I just want Teej to the Flames so bad.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
The Josh Doan to Arizona thing. I know you're laughing because he's in Utah. We had this conversation earlier. But I mean, what a start! Yep. I mean, he scores as a Coyote before they move along. So I think it's nice. Why not?
I do too.
Give him a shot.
And I mean, I'm a sucker for highlights. Like, I've been watching Tej highlights. I'm like, God,
can't you just tell yourself that everyone's the greatest player ever? They're 10 nicest moments of.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you've, you know.
I watched Ilya Mikheyev highlights in Russia, and I was like, this guy.
Yeah. Was he beating it to a square over there?
See the finish on this guy.
Yeah, right. Anyways.
Do you want to do, after the break, game time now?
We'll do game time after the break. Let's hit one here, and then we'll come back.
All right. We will be back with more Real Kipper and Bourne in just a moment.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Real Kipper and Bourne. Again, I'm joined by Sam McKee, and no Kipper today. Mm-hmm. So what we've done in his absence, like children with their parents gone, we're going to just burn it down.
Oh, well, we should do a game time first.
Let's do game time.
And then I came up with 5 Mitch Marner trades.
Kippy. Children.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Kippy.
Absolute children.
All right. It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, as I like to do on off days, I'm going off the ice for my game
and
time.
Let me tell you, our audience loves that.
Guess what? Too bad. Canada plays a soccer match today in the Copa America.
Copa.
Against Lionel Messi. Ever heard of him? And Argentina. If you are a good Canadian, you will bet on Canada at 9-1.
Not a chance.
9-1.
Not a chance.
9-1. The Canada soccer is 9-1 today.
Is it ever that lopsided?
Yeah, it is. Like, a lot of these matches.
We made the World Cup. Are we that far behind? No, they won the World Cup. But
I don't know if you heard. They're quite good.
Yeah, I have heard.
I think they've lost.
Messi's old. He's washed.
I think they've lost once in their last 20 matches, I want to say. Like, they're very, very good. If you're feeling like you don't
Davies
think they're
just rocking an Oilers jersey at a game earlier in the series.
So, they've won 5 in a row coming into this. They're hot. They're on form, as you would say.
Quality.
Thank
quality
you.
Side.
If you don't have the stones to put some cash on 9-1 money
if
line.
If you have the
if you're
brains.
Smart, the tie is not bad. Plus 450 for a tie. You know, Canada maybe get one late or find a way to get back into this game. Argentina gets on them early.
You know, Davies can create a moment.
Yes.
He is world class, so you get a moment.
Very world class.
Yes.
Very world class. I will say, if you think Canada's going to get spanked, if you're a bad Canadian, plus 450 for a same-game parlay, match result will be Argentina. Lionel Messi has a goal and an assist. That pays plus 450, so it's not the worst thing ever. Argentina correct score 3-1 pays 1,100. So plus 1,100. So
they give you a goal in soccer. Can you get, like, Canada plus a goal or anything like that? Is that?
I think you can, but I don't know how to do that.
Okay, well, that's
fine.
So
there's something. I don't know. Listen, I know
Sign
hockey.
Sign me up for
okay?
the draw plus 450.
So there you go. I'm really excited. I'm actually heading down to Cafe Diplomatico to watch it tonight. So, you know, going down into the mix, I'm sure it's going to be all horned up down there. Italy's playing Spain right now, so it's going to be hot down on College
you're
Street.
Getting people, a few coronies in.
Oh, yeah. I cannot wait for it. So really excited for the game tonight. I hope we don't lose 8-0.
Right.
That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Let's get 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Well, we weren't joking about the Mitch Marner thing.
So we were thinking about what we should talk about after we talk to our guests. Jason Bucher.
We talked about the Stanley Cup final
and
yesterday,
morning. How life is like verbal memes. I'm going to give you a verbal meme right now. Uh-huh. You know, the guy that slaps the water on? I think it's Flexio.
Flexio.
It's like, well, what do you want to talk about? Mitch Marner trade. Just slap a couple on there. So do you want to start with the most absurd or the most likely first?
That's a really good question.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll go with the Nashville Predators one.
Okay.
So I think there's some pretty natural matchups on that team. The Leafs are in need of a goaltender.
Yeah. So Marner has 1 year left.
At 11 million. Basically 11 million. Okay. From the Nashville Predators, we're going to go UC Saros.
Yep.
Dante Fabro, who's a 27-year-old right-hand shot, 6'2". Colton Sissons, who's a third-line center, had a ton of playoff experience, been there a long time,
yeah.
and a first-round pick from them for Mitch Marner, and the prospect's name is leaving me, Fraser Minton.
Ooh, Marner and Minton.
Yeah. But you're getting a first-round pick
the
back.
The first thing you do year. If you're Nashville, you're a Nashville fan, that's what I do. I put yep. myself in Nashville shoes mm-hmm. here in this. And my first thought as a Predators fan is, okay,
yeah,
let's go.
You like it?
Let's go. Okay. I do like it.
Thank you.
As a Leafs viewer, mm-hmm. you really got to believe Saros. See, Saros has one year left
at $5 million.
And then you got to pay him. Maybe you're paying him probably 9-10.
No, it wouldn't be that much. He's older. I think it would be like maybe $1 million or $2 million more than he's making now. Probably like $7 million-ish.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know if you got to give him the full boat. But, like, he's a good, proven NHL goalie who you could pair with Joseph Woll. He's durable. What?
5'11".
Yeah.
So, as he gets older, if he slows a bit, is it, you know, I just.
For sure.
What if this goalie, what if the goalie's not.
Do you like him more than Laurent Brossoit?
I do like him
more than Laurent
Brossoit.
Than Alex Nedeljkovic?
I like Brossoit, but as a backup. Yeah, no, of course. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So that's a yes on both sides.
Well,
you don't think it's, you think the Leafs are not
something too. I can't do it as a Leafs.
Okay.
Guy. I can't do it. Okay. I, you know what you did though? You created a good trade.
Thank you.
I
thought that was a good one
for at least to kick around.
Okay. The next one I got is with the Utah Hockey Club.
Okay. UHC.
Mitch Marner, ugh. Obviously heading to Utah
yep.
to the Mormons
yep.
for Connor Ingram, the goaltending young goalie.
Like Ingram.
Clayton Keller and Lawson Crouse.
I mean, let's go.
So let's go from both sides, well, or who's hanging up the phone first?
As the Leafs, I'm doing it.
Okay.
I'm doing it because it solves a lot of problems. I do mm-hmm. think Ingram is at least what the Leafs have in Joseph Woll mm-hmm. is potentially a number one.
Mm-hmm.
They might. So,
but I don't trust it. Game 7 broke.
Don't trust it.
He went away. He went away. Like he just went away. He was there. He was great, and then he was gone. Game day.
But, you know, there are players who, like, when Crosby had all his concussions, I was like, this guy's never going to be able to put together a string of healthy hockey again.
Yes.
And then he's just been healthy.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, even Matthews had some stuff early in his career, shoulder, I think.
Back.
I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, we don't like that. Injury guy. We don't like that.
But he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible for someone to kind of figure this out. So, for me, my point is, Woll is so legit to me that a guy like Ingram, like, it's one of these two guys could be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. And then Keller, you still get a scorer. Krause, you get a bigger guy.
Yep.
If you're Utah, you are lacking the top end scoring, the guys mm-hmm. to produce and put you over the top. So Marner has,
and to me,
and they have tons of salary cap. Actually, you know what?
New owner
syndrome.
They'd
be trying to give you picks.
New owner syndrome, where they're like, it's a new guy in the league. Want a star? We got a new arena. I guess Clayton Keller, you could say, is that? But
no,
Mitch
but
Marner's got the cachet.
Let's not pretend Clayton Keller's Mitch Marner.
Which, yeah, that's the thing here. I've made a lot of these trades, and I was like, oh, is that too much? I'm like, Mitch Marner's very good.
Yeah.
Like, you're trading for a...
Selke votes last
yes,
year.
In his prime, almost
points,
100-point guy.
26 years old.
In his primey prime. He's a bit distressed because of the playoff stuff, because of the narrative around him. I understand
distressed.
That. Bit of a distressed asset.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so those are... Oh, sorry. I just want to follow up. Utah, their pick sheet from Arizona, which you showed me on air, they have all the picks in the NHL over the next couple of years. They have Ingram, Keller, and Krause are good hockey players.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to want to win. They're going to want to keep those guys. Like, that trade you just gave me is not happening.
No, no.
Because they're going to say, we'll give you a first and 3 seconds.
They'll be like, have every pick we got. They have so many picks. But
you're right. I do see the new owner thing where it's like Steve Cohen and the Mets
want to make a splash.
Or even Vegas where you're like, we just want the best guys who are available.
Yep. Okay. So I gave you Nashville and I gave you Utah. Time to move to Calgary. Mitch Marner for Rasmus Anderson and Nazem Kadri.
Oh, my God, Kadri.
I know it's a big number. I know it's a big number, but he's been...
He's got 6 years left?
Got a lot left. But a guy that's familiar with this market, who's beloved here, who everyone says is the one that got away, who's a really, really good playoff performer, heart and soul kind of guy, loved being a Leaf, didn't want to leave, and you get a right-shot defenseman finally to pair with... And then you can say to yourself, Mitch Marner, maybe you can sign him there.
Yeah.
You're opening the new arena, one of the biggest stars in the league with Mitch Marner.
Mm-hmm.
And Kadri's back home where everyone loves him. You pair Anderson with Morgan Rielly on the top pair, right-hand shot guy.
I'm going to say something that may shock you.
Mm.
I would do this trade without Kadri.
Wow.
Not because I love Anderson that much. Anderson makes $4.5 million for the next 2 years. He is a 27-year-old thumper on a good deal who, you know, can get points. Really like Anderson. And then you have $7 million to play with. You know, it, to me, cap space is such an asset today that rather than locking in Kadri, who I don't know what I'm getting. He's 33.
Yeah, I know.
6 years left. He's 33 years old.
I know.
I don't want to see a great player be not great here, who has got a great legacy with the Leafs. And
that's not that great. He got suspended in back-to-back playoffs and then got booted for a kerfoot.
Love him here.
He's a massive fan favorite. He was my favorite Leaf the entire time he was here. I love Kadri.
Yeah.
So it's, a lot of this is just like GM Sam even like, I want a Kadri back in the Leafs. But yeah. I thought it was.
But I'd almost rather have the cap space. Like, okay. Could you give me Anderson and a pick or something?
Okay.
You know?
Okay. All right. Now, this one, we go to the franchise alterers, where your teams look vastly different. And this is the Vegas one. So this is a four-player trade on both sides.
It's always so hard to keep track of when
okay.
it's so many
but
guys.
No, this but no, this is cap compliant from both sides. This is on the, you know, with cap friendly, that's going to be gone. This okay. is approved by the league.
Okay.
Starting with Marner, obviously. Yeah. David Kampf, Connor Timmins, and Fraser Minton.
Hold on. Okay. Kampf, Timmins, and Minton. Mm-hmm. So I'm trading the three guys you, oh, Minton again.
Yeah, Minton again.
Kampf is a neutral asset. Timmons is a negative one, maybe.
Yeah,
or
he makes
neutral asset.
He's the type of guy that could go
one
to Vegas.
1-1, you can bury him if it doesn't work.
He's the Michael Amadio of defensemen, where he goes there and he's just like good and no one cares.
Right.
For Shea Theodore.
Okay.
Zach Whitecloud. Ooh. Nicholas Waugh and Braden McNabb.
It's so funny.
So you reinvent your decor where you get three separate defensemen and they're all big guys. That's what Treliving likes. And you get Shea Theodore, obviously. Nicholas Waugh is a gritty sort of third, fourth line center.
It is hilarious to propose to trade three of a team's 60.
Yeah. I mean, there's free agency. They're getting Connor Timmins back.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay.
That's the franchise alterer.
Yeah, you're right. So this one just doesn't happen.
Okay.
It doesn't happen. Not. Listen, I appreciate the proposals.
Thank you.
The D part on Vegas, they're just like, that's just our whole decor. That's our pride and joy. That's what we, you know, how we make our success.
Mm-hmm.
You want to trade Minton?
I do. Yeah, I do. If he's got any value, I would do it immediately.
He made the Toronto Maple Leafs last year.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Because I think it was more of a you-know-what whack for Pontus Holmberg
old
than
Pontus.
Anything. And this is the last one I have. It's a one-for-one.
Right, one.
It's a one-for-one to a division rival.
Yes.
Who hangs up first?
Okay.
Mitch Marner for Brady Tkachuk.
I everyone listens. There's no quick hang up.
There's a meeting.
There's a conversation.
There's a meeting
to be
on
had.
Both sides.
What is Brady's contract? So here's what I think. I think Ottawa hangs up first in this hypothetical. Brady Tkachuk is their captain. He is 24 years old. He has 4 years left at 8.2. He might score 40 goals in the league. He might beat the crap out of everyone. He's a valued guy. Can you throw Minton in with Marner here to make that sweeter? Would they want that?
Sure.
Is that where you want it?
Sure.
I mean, that would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ontario rivalry, when you trade one captain to the other team.
And I think that's the main reason wouldn't happen, because clearly, you know, I don't think either side would want to have the other guy have success in trading to the... Within the Battle of Ontario doesn't happen a whole lot, but yeah.
You know what's crazy? That Brady deal, there's no protection.
Nope.
Looking cap friendly. It's just a tradable contract.
And
8.2.
I don't think old Mitch is waving to go to Ottawa.
You don't think so, eh?
No. Something tells me.
Yeah, Brady does have a no move that kicks in next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that would come up. It's too bad that the teams are both in Ontario, because I think there's potential there for something, but I mean, if you're Ottawa, you're trying to build around that guy.
I know.
Yeah.
But there's been, I mean, he's at everywhere else other than Ottawa, every picture I see.
It is fun.
He's like taking pictures with, you know, people in every arena in the world. He goes around. He's everywhere except Ottawa all the time. So something tells me.
It is fascinating that, you know, for a Marner trade to happen, someone has to put themselves out there. And that guy is Brad Treliving. One thing that Tree's reputation has been in Calgary was that he is in on everything, mm-hmm. but doesn't really pull the trigger on much. I am fascinated to see if he has the gall to go ahead and trade Mitch Marner here. It feels like, here's what I think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just going to whimper its way along until they offer him another contract and he leaves as a free agent.
So
that's what I think.
Ouchie, first of all.
Yeah.
Kipper put out the article today on Toronto Star about how Markstrom would have waived to come to Toronto. Is that correct?
Yes.
Decent little nugget. Where was that one yesterday, bud? Could have used that one, Kip. Thanks, bud. But, I was reading some of the comments on his tweet, as I always do, because it's fun to read people get mad at Kip. The Sea of Red Central, which is, I guess, a blog for the Flames, well-followed, almost 10,000 followers. Brad is always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Enjoy.
Yeah.
With 15 likes on it. And you're like, oh.
That's the bit of the... Now, to his credit, he did consummate a massive trade, trading Matthew Tkachuk out for Uyghur and Huberto.
No
Uyghur.
Question. But that was...
Looks like a really good signing.
That was with a big fat gun to his head.
Yeah. Well, the question now is, what kind of gun is it that's at his head?
Yep.
Is it a super soaker or is it something of substance?
So there you go. Somebody tweeted, so we got lots of texts, people saying how big of an idiot I am, but love that. Marner to the Blues for Shen and Parayko, says somebody here.
Shen and Parayko, Brady Shen and Parayko. Yeah, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Yep. So there you go.
Isn't Barbashev a name that comes up once in a while?
Yeah, but
too?
He's on Vegas. Maybe you could put him into my franchise alterer there if you want.
Yeah.
But, yeah. There you go. I had to get a little bit sexy with that one.
You did.
But
get
I enjoyed
sexy.
That.
Well done.
What do you think's best one? Nashville?
I think the trade that you gave me that is most likely to happen is Nashville. Mm-hmm. Something from Nashville there.
Okay.
But the trade for a goalie makes me nervous. Giving up on all that talent. It's what has made the Leafs special and made them a 100-point team for years now is having that offensive
really
talent.
It's really worked out great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've really crushed it.
Well, it's not going to be great when they're not in playoffs with a great goalie.
You know what's going to be actually great? And I'll get this one off my chest before we go. That I think the Leafs will maybe take a little step back if they trade Marner, maybe be a 7 seed, you know, maybe even one on the wild card, and 110-point New Jersey Devils in the first round for the Toronto Maple Leafs and losing to Sheldon Keefe in the first round. That's a lock. There has never been a bigger lock in the history of sports than what I just laid out there.
I kind of alluded to it
when Keefe went there, but now that they got Markstrom and Jake Allen, like Book said, it's an awesome tandem.
Markstrom,
that's a legit tandem.
Allen, Dougie Hamilton comes back. Yeah. All those
Jack
guys.
Hughes healthy after surgery, come back, let it rip. They're amazing. Leafs play them first round, lose probably in 7.
Is he in overtime again?
Yeah. So is that a rosy picture I just painted for our Leaf fan listeners?
You did.
They already hate us all everywhere else in the country because of me spending 20 minutes on Marner trades.
We did yesterday on the Cup Final. We will do tomorrow as a preview for the game Friday night on Sportsnet. Be Oiler time again. I thought Florida staying an extra day in Florida made a lot of sense for them. They did it the first time. And, you know, I don't know. I just feel like they're doing what they did the first time. Stick with it. So
wow. I have a really, really good feeling that we are going to see a all-time hockey game tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the result's going to be. I really do think that the Oilers are going to get it. I think it's going to go back to Florida, then a game 7, who knows?
Yeah.
But I feel like tomorrow night will not disappoint. McDavid has gone to... He's gone to God mode, quite honestly.
So McDavid's in God mode, and Florida's in, we can't toy around with this anymore.
We can't do anything.
This is actually less fun unless we just get out there and grind it out. But I think goals are coming down. My prediction for that game is way tighter.
Interesting.
I mean, Edmonton has 13 goals in the last 2 games. Florida's the best defensive team in the NHL over the regular season and playoffs. I think they'll tighten it up, and all of a sudden you're looking at 3-2. Is Stu Skinner enough?
I think it's...
Which Bob do you get?
I think it's June 20th, and McDavid's a mutant and everybody else isn't. Yeah. And I think it's going to show its face again.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I actually am so excited.
Very
We're witnessing
excited.
An all-timer here.
I've
so
talked
let's
to several people planning their Friday night party. So looking forward to that ourselves. We will be back tomorrow, Nick Kyprios in tow, to preview game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.